Today, we're tackling something almost everyone experiences, fever. You know that moment the thermometer shows a high number and you think, okay, now what? Do I rest? Call the doc? Is this an urgent care thing? Maybe even the ER? There's so much info, it can feel overwhelming.
It really can. And fever, it's interesting, it's actually our body's own defense mechanism. Often means the immune system's fighting something off.
Right.
Figuring out the signals, what your body's telling you, or what to look for in others, that's key for making the right call quickly.
And that's what we're doing. We're going to unpack the key info from our sources on fever, give you a clearer roadmap, when and where to get care. A shortcut to understanding those thresholds, those red flags, so you feel informed, confident, not stressed when a fever hits.
And maybe bust a few myths too.
Okay, let's dive right in. The first big question always is, when does a fever actually need urgent care? When do you cross that line? Our sources give some pretty clear pointers.
They do. For adults, the main signal for maybe thinking urgent care is a fever hitting 103 degrees Fahrenheit or higher.
Okay.
Especially if it hangs around for more than 48 hours.
Right.
Or if those over-the-counter meds like ibuprofen aren't really touching it.
Right. It just stays high.
Exactly. And interestingly, even a lower fever, maybe just over 100.4, if that sticks around for more than 5 days in an adult, that warrants a checkup. It's about the duration, too.
We're so conditioned to think, fever bad, get rid of it.
Yeah.
But one source, a 2023 study, actually said fever is expected to help protect us, help purge the invaders. It's part of the fight.
That's a fascinating perspective, isn't it? Fever's a natural response, often beneficial.
So not always the enemy.
Not always. But it's a signal. And while the heat itself might be fighting germs, other symptoms popping up alongside it, like getting really dizzy, or a killer headache, maybe confusion. Those can mean something more serious is going on, even if the fever isn't sky high.
Okay.
And that's especially important for more vulnerable people. The fever's working, but maybe something else is really struggling.
Which brings us neatly to the different types of care, because it's not one size fits all. Urgent care, ER, telehealth. When do you choose which one? Let's break that down.
Okay, it's like a decision tree. Urgent care is often your best bet for those stubborn, sort of moderate to high fevers. Like we said, 103 or higher for over 48 hours in adults.
Uh-huh.
Or that lower 100.4 fever that just won't quit after 5 days. Especially if the usual meds aren't helping. They can handle a lot of common infections there.
Urgent care for the persistent stuff that isn't immediately life-threatening. What escalates it to ER level?
The ER is for emergencies. A fever hitting 105 or higher, that's definitely ER territory.
Wow.
But also, maybe more importantly, it's about those other severe symptoms. Real difficulty breathing, not just feeling a bit short of breath, deep confusion, intense chest pain, a really stiff neck. Those aren't just I feel rough symptoms. They could signal something life-threatening. And anyone with chronic conditions or weak immune system, they should probably head to the ER sooner if a fever persists or gets worse. Their bodies just don't have the same reserves.
And call 911 if you can't get there safely.
Absolutely. Don't try to drive if you're feeling really out of it or having severe symptoms.
Okay, and what about telehealth for those fevers that are concerning but maybe not ER level bad?
Telehealth is a great first step sometimes. For fevers maybe between 100.4 and 102, especially if you're generally healthy and just have mild symptoms, chills, sweating, feeling tired, achy.
The usual stuff.
Yeah, the usual stuff. It gets you quick advice without leaving home. They can help you figure out if you need to be seen in person or if you can just manage at home.
Makes sense. And then there are the times you just call 911, no hesitation.
Definitely. If a fever comes with a seizure or loss of consciousness, slurred speech, or that acute sudden difficulty breathing, those need immediate medical help.
That makes sense for adults. But kids, babies, older folks, age changes the rules, right?
Absolutely. Age is a huge factor. What's maybe just uncomfortable for a healthy adult could be a serious emergency for a baby. The guidelines are quite different.
Our sources have a really helpful breakdown by age. Let's walk through that, starting with the very youngest, infants.
Okay. Infants, 0 to 3 months old. This is critical. Any fever over 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit taken rectally needs immediate medical evaluation.
Wow. Okay. Any fever.
Any fever. Their immune systems are just so immature, even a slight fever can signal a serious infection. Straight to a doctor or ER.
Got it. What about slightly older babies and toddlers, say 3 months up to 3 years?
Still need to be cautious. A fever over 100.4 still needs attention. But here, you're also watching for other things. Does the fever last more than 2 or 3 days?
Okay.
Are they having fewer wet diapers, which signals dehydration? Vomiting, diarrhea, not wanting to drink, complaining of ear pain? Any of those alongside the fever? Urgent care is a good option if you can't get into your regular pediatrician quickly.
And for kids, maybe 3 to 12 years old, does the threshold go up?
The urgent care trigger is generally over 103 degrees Fahrenheit. But also, look at how they're doing overall. Is the fever getting worse fast? Are there severe symptoms, like they're really lethargic, hard to wake up?
Not just cranky.
Exactly. Or if the fever lasts over 48 hours and home care isn't helping, it's about the trajectory, how sick they seem.
Okay. Teens and adults up to about 64.
Back to that 103 degree mark generally for urgent care. But again, context matters. A severe headache with the fever, stiff neck, confusion, real trouble breathing, extreme fatigue where you just can't function, persistent vomiting or diarrhea.
Lots of red flags there.
Yes. Any of those, along with a fever over 103 or even a lower fever that drags on for more than 2 days without getting better with meds, means get to urgent care. And if you have underlying health issues, chronic stuff, don't wait as long. Go sooner.
And finally, older adults, 65 plus, what's the guidance there?
The threshold drops again. Over 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit is a concern. Older adults often have lower baseline body temps, so even a small rise can indicate something significant, like pneumonia or bronchitis.
So 100.4 could be like 102 for a younger person, relatively speaking.
And you really need to watch for mental changes, confusion, disorientation. That can be a key sign of infection in older adults. Also signs of dehydration, like not peeing much, or if they have known heart disease, diabetes, things like that. Any fever or those concerning symptoms warrants an urgent care visit for this group. Their warning signs can be more subtle.
That's really helpful, breaking it down by age. So you've done the assessment, checked the temp, considered the age, and decided urgent care is the right move. What actually happens there? What do they do for the fever?
So when you get to urgent care, they start with the basics. Take your temperature, blood pressure, pulse, check your oxygen level. They'll do a quick physical exam, listen to your heart and lungs.
Standard stuff.
Pretty standard. Helps them quickly screen for common things like flu, maybe bronchitis. They might do some rapid tests right there too, a strep test, maybe a flu swab, a quick urine test if they suspect a UTI.
And if those tests show something, like strep throat.
If they suspect a bacterial infection, like strep or bacterial pneumonia, they can prescribe antibiotics right then and there. That's a big advantage.
Okay.
They can give you something stronger for the fever and aches if needed, maybe prescription-level ibuprofen or acetaminophen, just to help you feel more comfortable while your body fights things off. And crucially, they give guidance on what to do next at home.
Rest and fluids.
Emphasizing rest, pushing fluids, water, broth, that kind of thing. And maybe even specific advice on nutrition to help your recovery. Sometimes they recommend certain foods.
So it's treatment plus advice. What if it's not straightforward? What if they need more info?
Good question. If things seem more complicated, they can do more diagnostics. They might draw blood for a complete blood count to look for signs of infection or inflammation.
Okay.
They might order a chest x-ray if they're worried about pneumonia. Or do a more detailed urine test. They have quite a few tools. And before you leave, they'll always tell you the plan.
The next steps.
Maybe you need follow-up tests. Maybe you need to see your primary doctor in a few days. Or if it turns out to be something really serious they picked up on, they'll arrange for you to go to the ER, sometimes directly from the urgent care. They make sure you know what needs to happen next.
Dig a bit deeper into high-risk groups. Some people are just more vulnerable when they get a fever. Who are they and why is it more serious for them?
Yeah, this is really important. For people in these high-risk groups, even a lower fever or milder symptoms can be a bigger deal. A moderate fever that hangs around or gets worse. That means getting medical help much sooner than you might otherwise. Their bodies just react differently.
So who falls into these groups? People with chronic conditions, like heart disease or diabetes?
Exactly. If you have heart disease, a fever increases your heart rate, puts extra strain on the heart. If you have diabetes, illness and fever can make blood sugar go haywire. It needs careful monitoring.
More frequent checks, hydration.
Definitely. Our source is stress. If you're diabetic with a high fever, check blood sugar often, push fluids, call your doctor, or go to urgent care quickly. Same for lung conditions like COPD. A fever, often linked to respiratory infections, is a big stressor. Monitor breathing, follow your action plan, and head to urgent care if the fever's over 103 or breathing gets tough.
What about pregnancy?
A fever during pregnancy needs prompt attention because it could potentially affect both the mother and the developing baby. You need to find out the cause and manage it safely. Always check with a doctor.
And neurological conditions like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, why are they higher risk?
Someone with dementia might not realize they have a fever or be able to tell you they feel unwell.
Ah, so care gets delayed.
Exactly. By the time someone else notices, the underlying infection could be much worse. It's about their potential difficulty in sensing or reporting the illness early.
And then there are patients with cancer or other serious illnesses, especially those getting treatment.
Treatments like chemotherapy weaken the immune system dramatically. They become immunocompromised. An article from 2017 pointed out that fever might not always be present even with a serious infection in these folks or in older adults. For them, even a low fever or other signs of infection without a high fever could be a critical warning. They need help immediately because their body can't fight back effectively.
And similarly, autoimmune diseases.
Yes. Conditions like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis and the medications used to treat them often suppress the immune system.
To control the disease.
That leaves them vulnerable to infections. But even a mild fever can be a much bigger threat for them than for someone with a healthy immune system.
We already covered infants under 3 months. Any fever is high risk.
Absolutely. That's top of the list for immediate medical care.
Okay, so beyond the temperature, certain symptoms that come with the fever are major red flags. These are the things that scream, get help.
These accompanying symptoms can turn a wait-and-see situation into an urgent one fast. If you see these, with or without a fever, it's time for urgent care, the ER. They're clues to something potentially serious.
Let's run through some key ones, like a stiff neck.
Yes, a stiff neck or significant neck pain, especially if you can't easily touch your chin to your chest or look side to side, combined with fever. That's a classic warning sign for meningitis. Needs immediate evaluation.
And convulsions or seizures?
Instantly alarming. Any seizure or uncontrollable shaking needs immediate medical assessment. Even if it might be a febrile seizure in a child, you need a doctor to confirm that and rule out anything else.
What about extreme fatigue? How extreme is extreme?
We're talking beyond just feeling wiped out. It's profound weakness, maybe delirium, being really hard to wake up, not being able to manage basic things like drinking. That level of exhaustion suggests a serious systemic problem.
Especially in older adults.
Huge red flag. Sudden confusion, acting strangely, slurred speech, especially in someone who wasn't confused before, can signal a serious infection like a UTI or even sepsis, particularly in the elderly. Like Dr. Kelly noted, confusion might be the only outward sign of a UTI in older folks.
The severe headache. When does it cross the line?
When it's debilitating, really intense, doesn't get better with painkillers, or comes with other red flags like stiff neck or light sensitivity. Needs checking out quickly, could be migraine, could be something worse. ERs can give IV meds for faster relief and diagnosis.
Chest pain or pressure or difficulty breathing, those sound serious.
They are. Chest pain with fever could be pneumonia, heart issues, serious stuff. Difficulty breathing, wheezing, feeling like you can't get enough air, it signals respiratory stress, maybe severe pneumonia or bronchitis. Needs immediate medical help, possibly oxygen.
What about a rash appearing with a fever?
A rash with fever could be anything from a relatively mild viral thing like roseola to something more serious like measles, scarlet fever, or even meningitis, especially if the rash looks like bruises or tiny blood spots. Don't ignore a fever with a rash.
And persistent vomiting or diarrhea.
If it's nonstop or getting worse, the big risk is dehydration, especially for kids and older adults. They might need medical help to get rehydrated, possibly with IV fluids, let alone figure out the cause.
Heart problems, fainting, those seem like obvious ER trips.
Absolutely. Any heart symptoms like racing palpitations, irregular beat, need immediate checking. And fainting, losing consciousness, always requires an urgent medical workup.
And blue lips or fingernails.
That's a critical sign of low oxygen. Cyanosis. Straight to the ER or call 911. No delay.
Last few. Trouble urinating, blood in urine or stool, earache, light sensitivity, a nasty cough.
Right. Trouble peeing or blood in urine could be a bad UTI or kidney issue. Blood in the stool or black stool suggests internal bleeding. Both need quick evaluation. A severe earache with fever might be a bad infection meeting antibiotics. Sensitivity to light with fever can be another sign of meningitis. A cough, coughing up thick, colored mucus, yellow-green, bloody, along with fever often points to bacterial pneumonia or bronchitis. Needs checking. Basically, any of these severe symptoms alongside a fever means don't wait, get seen immediately.
That's a comprehensive list of warnings. Not every fever needs urgent care. What can you do at home for mild cases, and when is telehealth a good option?
For mild fevers without those scary red flags, home care is usually fine. The basics.
Yeah.
Rest, lots of fluids, and over-the-counter meds like acetaminophen or ibuprofen for comfort. Dr. Kelly said, the goal isn't necessarily to force the temperature back to normal immediately. It's to improve comfort. Fever's doing a job. Mm-hmm. Focus on hydration water, clear soups, electrolyte drinks.
Manage at home unless you're high risk or symptoms are mild. If things last more than 48 hours or get worse, then seek advice. And telehealth can bridge that gap.
It can be a great bridge. If the fever's moderate, maybe 100.4 to 102, symptoms are mild, chills, aches, fatigue, and you're not high risk, a virtual visit is really convenient.
Colds, maybe RSV.
Yeah, lots of common viruses cause fevers. Telehealth, the doctor assess you, give advice, maybe prescribe something if needed, without you having to go anywhere. Saves time and potential exposure.
And if you do opt for telehealth, being prepared helps.
Oh, definitely. Makes the call much more productive. Have your device charged and connected. Write down your symptoms when they started, how they've changed. Know your temperature readings, highest and current. List all your medications, prescription, and over-the-counter with dosages. Have your medical history handy. And maybe jot down your questions beforehand so you don't forget. Good preparation helps the doctor help you better.
Wrapping this all up, we've covered a lot. Understanding fever isn't just a bad thing. Knowing those temperature guides, recognizing the serious warning signs. It's about moving from worrying to taking informed steps.
Exactly. It's about being an informed advocate for yourself or for your family. Knowing the age guidelines, what urgent care versus the ER can do, spotting those red flags, it really is empowering. Take some of the anxiety out of it.
The bottom line seems to be, fevers are common, often manageable at home. But sometimes they demand quick medical attention. Knowing that difference is key.
It really is. If fever is this natural defense, this complex biological response, how does our modern reflex to immediately squash every symptom affect things long term? Are we sometimes silencing a message our body is trying to send instead of listening to it? Is there a balance we could strike better?
That's a really interesting question to ponder. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this conversation helps you feel more prepared and confident next time a fever shows up.